Murphy and Rosen. And, you know, with no live sports going on, Mark, a lot of people, especially broadcasts, are going back to games of the past.
Absolutely.
And usually there's a reason behind it. Maybe it was on this day or there was a championship involved. I just thought we would go a little bit more random. In a segment.
Absolutely.
In a segment we call...
It's time now for Random Reminiscing with Rosen.
Ryan Donaldson, I need your help here.
I'm always ready to help you.
I know.
I need you to pick a number between 60 and 100.
Holy cow.
60 and 100.
Yeah.
Let's go with 84.
Okay.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss.
Now,
my thoughts exactly.
Shocking. Now, I would like you to pick...
Super Freak.
Either football, baseball, or hockey.
I'm always a football guy.
Yeah.
All right. So today, Rosen, we're going to reminisce about the 1984 Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, my God. You don't have enough time in the next 3 hours to have me go through that story.
Obviously, I didn't know this was coming ahead of time, so I'm now researching the 1984 Minnesota Vikings as we speak. Well, you know off the top of your head about the 1984 Minnesota Vikings?
I lived it. I did the Les
What do you remember
show.
About it? Well, although that's the 3-13 year.
Yeah. The 1984 season started in January of 1984, and this is absolutely what happened. You talk about back in the day when WCCO television spared no expense. I was about to go play some tennis on a Saturday morning. I got a call from the news director.
So good. I was not expecting this when I started the segment. It's awesome.
I was playing against guards even. He was three. No, he hadn't been born yet. No, I was playing against a buddy of mine. Didn't have cell phones. I got a call and said, you got to get on an airplane at noon. So to go where? He goes, you got to go to Hawaii. I went, what?
I wish I could get that call.
And I said, well, okay. I mean, I literally went and still played tennis for like an hour. But I said, what's going on? And I got the and I picked
Did you win the
paper.
Tennis match, by the way?
I have no idea. I just remember having the hustle to get done and get changed and get on an airplane. Sid Hartman got the scoop, of course, because he was real tight with Bud Grant. Bud was retiring. Bud retired. The Pro Bowl was going on. They were naming the new head coach in Honolulu. So I flew to Hawaii with our photographer, Rick Olson, and showed up. I mean, literally.
Why are they naming the coach in Honolulu?
Because the Pro Bowl was going on.
Can't they just Max wait Winter, a day or two?
No. Max Winter was the owner of the team, and he wanted to do it out there. So Bud was out there, and Les Steckel was out there. And so they literally named the coach out there, and we went out and got the exclusive, flew to Hawaii, and satellite sending tapes back and interviews back and all this sort of thing was a little more archaic, but we were still able to do it. Went to the local station in Honolulu, fed the story back, did the story, had to get right back on an airplane that night, flew back to Minneapolis and did a half-hour special. I have the pictures, one of my favorite pictures of all time. Did a half-hour special at 6:30 the following Monday night with Bud Grant, Les Steckel, Tommy Kramer.
Okay. Can you get the bells, please?
Let me go. Bud Grant. Just turned 93 yesterday. Happy birthday,
yes.
Bud. The new head coach, Les Steckel, which a lot of people were shocked because people expected Jerry Burns to get the head coaching job. Tommy Kramer, the great Jim Marshall, and the late, great Bill Brown. We had a set that was set up. I did a half-hour live show after coming back from Hawaii about the transformation of power from Bud Grant to Les Steckel. Okay, fast forward to after that, the 1984 team began with... Les Steckel coming in. Keith Millard decided to sign with the United States Football League, his number one draft pick. Millard's got great stories about that, working out with the Vikings before signing with them. And Les, being the former Marine, had the Ironman contest down in Mankato, which was unbelievable. He said, we're going to be the toughest fourth quarter team in the National Football League. They're also the worst team in the National Football League. 3-13. They got the crap beat out of them a lot. And I had to do the Les Steckel show every Sunday night. And his sister was directing it. She worked at Channel 4. I'm not making this up.
What?
His sister, Alita, was directing the show. And there was a time because my producer, Denny Drugichu, was producing it. And he was in the studio. And Alita got so upset with what was going on because the team was getting... She literally put her head down on the desk. Like, I didn't hear the story until later. Like, you're directing the show. Anyway, the last part of that story... The last night after the Vikings finished 3-13, Les Steckel said to me off the air, well, he showed me a piece of paper. I got my off-season conditioning program all set for these guys starting tomorrow morning. I went, oh, sounds interesting. Wakes up Monday morning. Mike Lynn said, you're no longer the head coach of the Vikings football team. So I had to try to chase him down. Finally did by his house and got a quick interview through the car window about Les Steckel talking about why. And he was, because he thought he, his five-year plan lasted 1 year. That was it. Bud came back for 1 year. Then Jerry Burns rightfully took over as the head coach. I could go into more detail, but that
we have a whole segment to kill, so please
No, I mean, I'm just saying that that was...
Well, I'd like to know, because as someone who, Claire was extremely very young at that point.
Well, of course.
I know they went 3-13, but I really don't know what went wrong. Was there drama involved? And what happened? Was this team projected to be a bad team? Were they supposed to be good and it fell apart? What happened?
Scott Studwell did his thing, and I think I was... Tommy Kramer. I have to go look at the roster. You have to look it up.
Well, I can give you the roster.
Alfred Anderson, I think, was in the backfield.
Yep.
Was that the year that was Archie here?
Yeah, so I'm looking at their stats right now. Tommy Kramer started 9 games. He went 2-7. 9 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Wade Wilson started 5 games. He went 1-4. 5 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Right.
Archie Manning did start 2 games, went 0-2.
Yeah, he played in that Bears game, I think, with the Bears.
2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Yeah, what happened was, and Peyton Manning was hanging out at Winter Park, a little kid throwing football around, when Archie was here. I don't know what year was Peyton born. I think, maybe Ryan can look it up. I don't know how old he was in 1984, but...
I bet he'd be like...
4?
6-ish, 7-ish?
6, I don't know. But...
He was born in 76.
Okay, so he was a little older than that. But
yeah, Peyton, 7-8 years old.
Peyton Manning was hanging out. I was hopeful that Mike Lynn could assign him to a future contract at that point. Could they have drafted
him?
Lock him up. Archie, again, at the end of a glorious career, and I think, I don't know, Dave Casper was on that team. Jan, was Stenerud kicking for him? I can't, I remember traveling with Jan Stenerud and talking, he's a great storyteller, the Hall of Fame kicker. But, Archie was playing the Bears.
Jan Stenerud was their kicker. Guess who their punter was?
Greg Coleman. Yeah.
He also threw a pass that year.
Well, he had to survive.
0-for-1.
But the Bears were, on the verge of winning. The next year they won the 85 Bears. So they had that nucleus. And they were, the offensive line was such a mess for the Vikings. I remember Archie had to go in the game in Chicago at Soldier Field. And Richard Dent and Singletary. And all those guys were they were basically telling Archie, just lay down. We don't want to hurt you. They honestly, truthfully, because they had so much respect for him, but they were just plowing in like there was a get out of jail free card. So Archie got the crap beat out of him. And
that game they lost 16-7 at Soldier Field.
Is that all the score was? Oh my
God. If it's the right game you're talking about.
They also
lost to the Bears at home later in the season.
Yeah,
they lost 34-3.
Yeah,
that was at Metrodome.
But this is the one I remember at Soldier Field. But Archie was there, and he was
He scored 10 points total in those two games.
Yeah, amazing. Well, it was
the Vikings were 2-2 at one point that year.
I remember, and they I think it was Philadelphia they beat or someone.
They beat Atlanta at home and then Detroit on the road.
Okay, all right,
and they did beat Tampa Bay in Week 10.
Wow. Well, it was quite the year. I mean, I was to have to do 16 Les Steckel shows. Live. Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rushing, Alfred Anderson.
Yeah, Alfred Anderson.
773 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ted Brown had 442 yards, 3 touchdowns. Darren Nelson had 406 yards, 3 touchdowns. Let's see.
They had no offensive line, and they were just a complete mess.
Receiving-wise, it looks like...
Hassan Jones.
Leo Lewis was the top receiver. 47 catches for 830 yards. Mike Jones... Never heard of him.
Barely remember him.
38 for 591. Steve Jordan had 38 for 414. Sammy White, 21 catches for 399.
Yeah, Mulaney was still on the team. I think he pulled a hamstring when that
Mike Mularkey was on that team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tight end. Yeah. And
Joe Sensor.
Just remember wonderful conversations with Stenerud and Archie Manning. That's where, it was great to become friends with Archie back in that time. And then, fast forward to being in Green Bay when, Eli beat the Packers. What turned out to be Favre's last game in Green Bay. So I was been around the family for quite a while and seeing it firsthand, at least as far as his development. But it was funny when I think back to little Peyton Manning running around Winter Park. I mean, it's crazy.
Just like Larry Fitzgerald Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a ball boy 98. Yeah. Well, good guess. Good subject for me.
That was, I liked random reminiscing with Rosen. Yeah. Thanks to Ryan for picking 84 biking. Yeah, that was a great pull.
Thanks to Randy Moss for choosing the number 84.
Yeah, no kidding.
And influencing me to go with that, because those are some really good stories.
Man, I'm telling you, it just comes flooding back to me. It was crazy. But yeah, it was just doing his show. And Les was great. I mean, Ahmad Rashad was, he was Ahmad's wide receiver coach. And Les was a very good wide receiver coach, but it was kind of I remember asking Bud Grant, why did you name Les Steckel a head coach? Well, he can relate to everybody. He can relate to the religious guys. He can relate to these guys in the street and these guys over here and this guy. And then, of course, none of that happened. He changed his personality when he became the head coach.
That's it for random reminiscing with Rosen. I want to do some obligatory daily NFL headlines with you.
Sure.
Maybe even a cryptic Stefon Diggs tweet.
Another one? We don't have to worry about those anymore.
All of that next with Mark Rosen here on The Fan.
It's Tenna B filling in for Common on the